Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
All right. Now, thank you for helping me out today. And Ellen, thank you for helping me out today. I'm dealing with a lot of asthma and allergies right now. And so it was, I gave Ellen the option. She could either preach for me today or she could read the gospel. So she didn't have much of a choice. But I appreciate the help today. So it was a long gospel reading, right? Well, we are, as I said at the beginning, on Lutari Sunday, which in Latin means joy. And you notice I'm wearing a pink stole today. Lutari Sunday is introduced in the middle of Lent to emphasize rejoicing in the solemn season of reflection and repentance. And in our long gospel reading, there was a lot to rejoice about, especially for the former blind man. I could focus on the miracle of Jesus' healing that blind man, or even the blind man as a model evangelist of what when God does something miraculous for us. After all, after he was physically healed, he becomes a follower, a disciple of Jesus, even though he was persecuted and thrown out of the synagogue. Each of these aspects would make for a great sermon material. But something in particular caught my attention in this reading today, and that is how the religious leaders, some of the religious leaders, not all of them, the Pharisees, faced the facts of the miracle that Jesus performed, still remain blind to who Jesus is. How could they be so blind and yet see? The answer is that some of these Pharisees had spiritual blindness. But what is spiritual blindness? Well, in our Wednesday Bible study, we've been going through the Psalms, and we're going from the songs of lament to praise. And we are still in the songs of Psalms of a lament right now. And one of the Psalms that we studied this week was Psalm 44, a psalm of lament. And the author of this psalm of lament starts out by praising God of all the things that God has done for God's people, meaning the people of Israel, how he's fought for them in battle, how he's parted the waters so they could go through, all the wonderful things that God has done. And then there's a turn around verse 9 in this psalm, and then because what is happening to the people of Israel, the armies are going against them, and they're losing, and they're taking everything away from them. They're exiling them, and they're slaughtering them, and all these terrible things are happening to them. And then the psalmist makes another turn in around verse 17, and he says, "And this has all come upon us, yet we have not forgotten you, and been false to your covenant. Our hearts are not turned back, nor have our steps departed your way. Yet you have broken us. You have forgotten. If we had forgotten the name of God or spread out our hands to a strange God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of our hearts. You see, they thought they knew what God, what they were doing. They had convinced themselves whatever they were doing, and I don't know, but I know from other parts of Scripture that a lot of God's people had left God. They were doing things, they were worshiping other idols. They were not keeping the covenant of God, but they convinced themselves that they were. And so they were in the process of having this spiritual blindness. Turning back to our gospel reading, in Jesus' time, we have this, they had a, when somebody had a physical or a mental disability, especially if they were, they thought somebody was had sin in their life. And if it was something that he was born with a physical disability or something, then it was because of sin from their parents. And so it was not unusual at the beginning of this gospel reading for the disciples to ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And notice Jesus answers, neither the man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. Now, first of all, Jesus is going totally counter-religious here. I want to say counter-cultural, but it was more what people thought. You know, bad things happen because there was sin in people's lives. He was telling his disciples that a person's disability is not because of sin in their life or their parents. This was a radical new concept for the disciples. Even after the former blind man's powerful testimony to the Pharisees about Jesus healing him, the Pharisees could not get past this idea that this man was a sinner. And they say to him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" The blind man's argument was sound. How could a man heal a blind man from birth if he was not from God? But some of the Pharisees remained blind to who Jesus is, and they remained spiritually blind. We also need to be careful of how we interpret what Jesus is saying. When Jesus says he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him, Jesus does not mean God made this man blind to show God's glory in healing him. But instead, Jesus is sent into our broken world to do works like healing in order to point to God's glory. Jesus then tells the disciples, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus brings light and hope in our dark places. The concept of spiritual blindness has always perplexed me growing up. It wasn't until I was much older that I had this spiritual awakening myself that I began to understand about spiritual blindness. I always understood this reading to be a great healing story from Jesus, but I failed to see the major point of the story was not necessarily about the physical healing, but that got people's attention. But it was something even better, a more precious gift. Jesus restored this blind man's spiritual sight. But as we know, when we have a gift presented to us, we have a choice to make, don't we? Whether we accept that gift or whether we reject that gift. The blind man had accepted the gift, but it cost him, something even his parents were afraid to accept. The religious leaders drove the blind man out of the synagogue for his belief in Jesus as his Lord. Spiritual blindness is not always a question of confessing Jesus as Lord, is it? We can believe Jesus as Lord and Savior and still have spiritual blindness in our lives. Like the psalmist, in Psalm 44, they believed in God, but they thought God should always have their back no matter what the nation of Israel did. The concept of spiritual blindness, or seeing but not seeing, is a hard one to explain. But I thought I'd maybe give you an example from everyday life. something that maybe all of us could relate to. Have you ever come and gone to the refrigerator looking for something you know is in there? You stand there, you open the door, and you're just looking and looking. And then you say, and then somebody who's living with you might say, are you looking for something? And you tell them what you're looking for, and they tell you exactly where it is. And you're looking, and you're looking, and they come over to you, they pick it up, they take it out of the refrigerator and hand it to you with a smile on their face. Yes. And they say, here it is. But you know, in their hearts, they're saying, are you blind? That's what happens. Spiritual blindness can be like that. It can be right in front of our noses, and we can't see that item. Sometimes that's the case of our spiritual sight, too. We can become so familiar with the mechanics and the traditions of our spiritual life that we miss God's point altogether. Some of the religious leaders in our gospel message missed a point about who Jesus was because of their rigidness to keeping the law and the pride of they knew God better than anyone else. It blinded them to the possibility that somebody else could also know God, somebody they thought was a sinner. What blinds us? Well, I know what blinded me in my early adult years was my self-proclaimed success. Success can be great in our life, financially and whatever, until we see our life falling apart. And then we need to step back and do some self-examination. Everything on the outside can look great. And I thought I really didn't need God a lot in my life. I had it all together, but I didn't. For the first time in my life, I wasn't able to control my situation. It sent me into a very spiral to the lowest point in my life. And it was in that low point that God made me once again, that God met me there and began to restore my sight. It was for the first time in my adult Christian life, I began to understand what it really meant to be a Christian, and I began to open my heart and my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I was not in control. God was in control. And my life had been changed for the better. God not only opened my eyes to the good news and the gospel message, but God enabled and equipped me to share that message with others. It was a good thing God didn't reveal that whole plan to me initially, because I would not be here today. That would have been a little bit too much opening my eyes. And who knows what else God has in store for me, what God has in store for each of you. I know it was God's plan and timing. I just had to keep my spiritual blinders off and say yes to God. Whatever you need to do, if it's God's will for your life, God will get you through it. I never knew I had spiritual blindness until I came into a crisis in my life and I had to make a choice. Was I going to let God into my heart and begin my healing, or was I going to try to keep doing it my way? And as Dr. Phil always says, and how's that working for you? Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work at all, does it? Jesus asks us today, when we open our eyes and our hearts to the leading of God and following Jesus' example. Lent is a time of self-examination. What in our life have we been sweeping under the carpet or hiding in the dark? Jesus is the light that shines in our dark places. Allow him to open our eyes to God's possibilities because they're limitless. The blind men chose Jesus as Lord. And I pray that as we move forward in our own lives and in the life of this congregation, we will choose to be led by Jesus' lordship. Jesus is the light of the world. Let him guide us out of our dark places, any place that we may be in, out of those places where we are spiritually blind to the power of God that could be in our lives. And then going out into the world, spreading the good news of hope to others in this hurting world. The world needs some spiritual healing, more so than ever. And he calls us to do so. Amen.